And welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin again, your host, Kevin Walter from Coins Plus, coming to you from the Clock Tower Recording Studio inside the Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza, where Coins Plus is located, 3201 North Division Street, the Division Hill, as I said, Clock Tower Plaza. The building's a landmark, about an 80-foot-high brick clock tower. Had a couple people lately ask for directions. It's very simple. Exit 281 off of I-90. Exit 281 is the it's Division Street or 395 North. You go north on 395 or exit 281 Division Street. You're head north. Off of the interstate, you go straight down. The road just continues north. You go all the way down across the river. So you're going to come. I'll make it easier. You head north off of exit 281 from I-90. Division comes down. It goes across the river. Right after you cross the bridge, across the river, it splits into two one-ways. You just continue to head north. I would say about maybe 15 blocks, 20 blocks later, the two one-ways come back together at the bottom of a steep hill. That's called the Division Hill. We are three blocks up the hill on the left side of the road if you're heading north, or the west side. And at that point, if you miss our building, you're having a visual crisis. It is a landmark. Many people call and they say, "What's your crossroads there?" And frankly, it's Gray Court on one side of Division and Liberty on another, and it doesn't matter. We are the landmark. It's a very distinct clock tower building, beautiful building. We built a little over a decade ago, been in business about 20 years, initially spent about a decade or less or so sharing space with a large retailer here in town, a retail jewelry company. Anyway, you can't miss the building. It's a very nice building built from the ground up specifically for our industry, specifically for our own security, your security. We have the highest rated privately held depository service in the Northwest United States and far beyond. We built it specifically for this industry in and of itself. It's just extremely high security, I'll put it that way, in every possible way. It's a one-of-a-kind, unique facility nationwide. I have never seen anything like it in our industry. We buy and sell all forms of precious metals, gold, silver, platinum, palladium, rhodium, you name it. We deal in it to a degree. We even sell titanium and tungsten wedding bands to men and so on and so forth. And rare coins, collections, estates. We pretty much deal in anything that is our industry basics. We buy coin collections and accumulations. We build portfolios. That means we assist you with what we call wealth and capital preservation. We believe that, you know, many people like to use the word invest. By the way, as I always do, I forget to put the phone number in there. Coins Plus can be reached locally. That's in Spokane. 444-0044. If you're outside the area, it's toll-free, 877-TAP-COIN. That's 877-827-2646. The 2646 spells COIN. You can go 877-827-COIN if that's easier to remember. And always through our website at coinsplus.com. We have all the previously recorded radio shows as well as a link where you can contact us with emails. As I do say often, we will usually try to get a hold of you. We prefer to communicate over the phone versus by email. It's much more effective, we've found. Like I said, we've been here a considerable amount of time, and we will be here for many, many years to come. So you get the point. We've got a nice facility. We've been here, and you know, it's not to brag. I've even had people say, "Well, gee, with that big building, you must have high overhead." folks, Coins Plus is very well capitalized. Again, a very seasoned veteran business in this industry. We've done an extraordinary amount of business over the years, and we don't have debt. We're debt-free. We're a debt-free company, so there isn't overhead. There are a lot of little coin shoppy little things around, and that, you know, they're the ones that want to point the finger at the big guy. We didn't, you know, as many people have discovered, we didn't end up where we're at by doing things the wrong way. And again, I'm not trying to toot my horn. I just want you to have assurance in who we are. We're here to serve you. We're here to be the best. We're here to serve God first. That's really who we are. We want to be the absolute best. And, you know, it's important for you to understand as an individual, God wants us to be the best. People confuse so many things, you know, with Jesus, turn the other cheek, you know, and they think, oh, that means you're supposed to be, you know, a pacifist or a wimp. No, he said, when you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake, which is completely different than the way we're supposed to be when it comes to self-defense. Self-defense is a very important part of the Bible. I mean, we're supposed to be strong. You know, Timothy says, we were not given a spirit of timidity or weakness or cowardice. We were given a spirit of boldness and strength and power. That means we're supposed to speak up. But I always want to preface the importance of speaking up with class and dignity. Again, being the best at whatever you do. If you're curious what that looks like, begin reading the writings of our founding fathers, okay? It's critical that you do this to understand the level, the standard, the level of excellence that they lived by. It was so, I don't know if it was just expected or important or what, but their level of literacy and oratory skills was absolutely phenomenal. And one thing we're running into now, I was speaking with a young gentleman here recently, and he made a comment to me. He said, yeah, they're learning that all kinds of things that we've been teaching in history are wrong. And I said, like what? Well, like Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson was an atheist and a homosexual, and Christopher Columbus was a homosexual. Well, how do you come up with Christopher Columbus was a homosexual? Well, in his journals, he wrote that he shared a bed with another man on a few separate occasions. Well, folks, simple research. First of all, original source. Remember that. Original source. You go to the original source of information. Okay? That doesn't mean old is necessary good. What happens is you get this incestuous stack up of false information. Very much like we're hearing all these comments lately about fake news. Just because it's old, or just because you got to understand original source, okay? So basically, let's say you read an article that says Thomas Jefferson was a homosexual, and they reference Tom Bradbury, 1883 PhD thesis, you know, XYZ University. There's something very similar to that out there. So you, being the great researcher you are, you go look up Tom Bradbury's PhD thesis from XYZ University, and you go, yep, there it is. There it is. Clear back in 1883, Tom Bradbury knew Thomas Jefferson was homosexual. It must be true. No. Who's Tom Bradbury referring to? Now, this is actually a true story that I'm kind of relaying to you. The problem is I don't have the exact specs or details, because I didn't intend to cover this today. Anyone who listens to me long enough knows that I'm probably on the brink of insanity anyway, so you never quite know what you're going to get. But basically, this really did happen. There's a quadruple stack of bad evidence back there where one scholar, quote-unquote, copied the last scholar, copied that scholar, etc. And this stuff becomes in concrete because the layers become too deep. It's very much like years back, I had an employee who could not understand what a phishing email was. If you don't know what a phishing email is, it's where a company sends you an email that basically... sorry, I'm making a note here. So it's a phishing email is where a company imposters or fakes being another company like PayPal. Okay. PayPal is an online bank that's owned by eBay, very large. And I guess I'll just tell you the story. I had this employee who was older. He wasn't real tech savvy. And we'd get phishing emails that would say, "Your PayPal account has been breached. Log in now to correct this problem." Or it'd say, they'd get an email from PayPal. It appears there's fraud on your account. Somebody has tried to log into your account. Please verify your password here," or whatever. Or sometimes it'll send you something and say, "You've received a payment for $1,788 from John Fred Red, White, and Blue." And you'll be like, "Who's John Fred Red, White, and Blue?" So then it looks like a PayPal email. And right there conveniently is the login box. And you just begin to log in. They steal your information because they're hacking you. You send it to them. And in some cases, they will literally add a pass-through screen so that you literally will log into PayPal. You'll never know that you had a false screen in front of the main PayPal screen that just recorded your keystrokes. So now you know, they know your information, and you've been hacked. You've been had. You've been whatever you want to call it. So we had this employee who kept falling for these, one after the next, I mean, and I would show him how to tell. Point this cursor around the screen. Point at all the hot links. Eventually, you're going to find a hot link that doesn't go to PayPal. Okay, it's easy to figure out, but he just couldn't do it. So this was a period of time I was in Fiji, of course, and I got on my account at, you know, say it was 5 o'clock in the afternoon, PM. However, back home, it was probably midnight or 1 a.m. So I go to log into my PayPal account, nothing. I can't get in, And I'm like, scary. In fact, I think I may have gotten an email or something from them about some activity on the account. But more or less, you know, notifications or verification, a password change, whatever. And this is quite a ways back before they added all, they have a lot more security precautions. So I try to log in. I can't get in. I'm like, oh, no. I know this guy, you know, he was a good friend, but he just couldn't get it. So I'm like, oh, no. So I try to call PayPal, and I'm trying to. And at this time, we were doing a lot of online sales, and we had a substantial amount of money in the account. And so I try to call PayPal, and they say, yeah, verify this, verify that, and I verify it all. And they say, well, you just changed the password on your account. What is it? I said, no, that's why I'm calling. I didn't change the password on my account. And they say, well, are you calling from Fiji? And I said, well, yes, I am. I'm on vacation. And they said, well, we're sorry, but that address is not documented or listed as one of your verified addresses, and we can't help you. And I'm like, wait, but do this, do that. Click. Brr, oh, no. Call back again. Same thing. Call back again. Fourth time. I beg the lady, please, 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 please just freeze our account. Please freeze it because I don't want to, you know, I'm afraid of what's going on. So she finally freezes the account. The next day I call the shop. Sure enough, the guy had done it again. And needless to say, that was, I think, the last time he had the privilege of doing that. However, what had happened is by the time I got them to freeze the account, it was literally during the process. Whoever had hacked our account had begun a process, and apparently they could see a string of banks where they were going to funnel the money, okay? And what happens is they blast it off. It goes to, you know, just hypothetically, like Japan, Thailand, Amsterdam, London, Dubai, you know, I don't know, Quebec, whatever, bounces all over the globe. And they literally had seven different banks through which that money was about to pass. In fact, if I remember properly, the money had already passed, but because the transaction was fresh, PayPal still had the time. Well, when they froze the transaction, they technically at that point, you know, stopped the damage. So, you know, I'll just say we were doing a ton of online sales and there was a lot of money in there. My point is this, one of my side stories. My point is the stacking, okay? So when they stack all this historically bad evidence and you start looking for original source of information, you can mistake stacks of bad references as original info. You're like, geez, you go back to the 1880s, there's four different sources, one upon the next. This is the same thing they were trying to do when they were, you know, fraudulently diverting funds. They were going to pump it through like seven banks, trying to cross through seven different countries, international finance laws, you would never see that money again. Well, they're banking on the same thing with this false news, false information. We're seeing the same thing today. George Soros, if you don't know who he is, he's a multi-billionaire, radical left-wing socialist who funds Obama. He funds MoveOn.org. He funded the Hillary campaign. He's behind everything. He's the one that hired Obama out of office for a $3 million per year salary. This is what Obama makes now. $3 million, unlimited spending account to fight, you know, the cause, to fight Trump and the right-wing movement or whatever you want to call it, as well as, you know, resources you can imagine as an ex-president. He's got access to everybody and everything. George Soros wants him on his team. Why? George Soros, I don't know how many websites he has now, but I know years back he had over 400 websites. He has activists working on all these websites, literally two, four, five kids a website. I've seen the ads online, you know, work from home. Are you an activist? You know, do you want to make the world a better place? Do you have strong opinions? You know, work from home as an activist. And basically what happens is these kids get jobs. They get assigned a website, one or two or three or four or five kids, depending on the traffic to the website. And what these kids do is they go on every day. George Soros's parent company, probably MoveOn.org, sends them the narrative for the day, sends them stories to post for the day, sends them all kinds of information. And in all these websites, they post the same junk, but it's fake news, okay? But the problem is you go search the web, and guess what? You get literally at different layers. You've got, say, hypothetically, 400 of these sites out there. Now, obviously, you're not going to get them all in one hit because different search terms bring up different things. But the point is they saturate the market with this false news, this false information, and you begin to believe it because, after all, everybody's doing it. Everybody's saying it. This is the important thing you got to understand in life. Majority does not make right. Majority does not make truth. The same thing is, you know, it's really, if you look at it, and I'm going to talk a little bit here in a minute about communication, it is in and of itself pretty much, you know, part and parcel of the Saul Alinsky Rules for Radicals program. The Rules for Radicals, which is written by Saul Alinsky, is basically a design by which they use what the Nazis called the Blitzkrieg, okay? If you play football, you know about the blitz. They use the blitzkrieg. They use overwhelming force, overwhelming information, you know, overwhelming persuasion, whatever you want to call it. They overwhelm you. They overwhelm you so hard with information. The Saul Alinsky camp, the rules for radicals, overwhelms you with attack. Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals, again, if you don't know what that is, Saul Alinsky was a radical left winger from the probably the 60s or 70s who literally was involved in bombing, you know, politicians. You know, he made an attack, I believe it was on the Pentagon or the White House or Congress or something. You think I'd know. But he basically has done heinous acts of terrorism. But because he's a liberal, that's okay. And he worked with Bernadine Dorn, who done prison time. And she and others have done some time for radical terrorist activities. He's still out there. He, you know, David Ayers is the greatest pal of Barack Hussein Obama. And these guys all work together with the Saul Alinsky rules for radicals. They basically have this ruthless system of destruction, destruction of the system, destruction of your beliefs, destruction of their opposition. This is why we have the Democrats promising a filibuster. What does that mean? Oh, by the way, a filibuster on the nomination of Judge, hopefully, Neil Gorsuch. Okay? This guy is a rock. This guy is as constitutionally sound a man as I've ever heard. And from witnesses of his testimony or his character, apparently that's a universal conclusion. So he testifies in his confirmation hearing before the Senate and does wonderfully. He says, I don't give a rip about politics. I could care less. They say, well, look at all these rulings you made in favor of big corporations and how few you've made in favor of the individual. Well, here's the problem. The problem is that he was an appellate judge. That means they handled appeals. The verdict was handed down from a lower court. People don't like it. They either don't like the settlement amount or they find a technicality they believe. They take it to an appeals court. An appeals court looks at it and says, yes or no, this case merits an appeal. Okay? It's that simple. They get a certain number of cases that swing each direction. So if they say to Neil Gorsuch, oh, you favored big corporations over individuals, 70 to 30%, that he has no say over that. He's going to see every single case that comes his way ruled on the way the lower court chose. At that point in time, it's the appellate judge's call whether or not there is a legitimate, you know, debate, argument, point, technicality, whatever it may be, whether or not there is a legitimate point upon which that verdict can be appealed. That's it. There's no moral judgment, none of it. That's all been done at the lower courts. And what we're getting out of the Democrats is absolute, complete, and total smoke and mirrors. Chaos. They want constant chaos. They're too dumb, apparently, to realize that they have lost over 1,000 seats since Obama took office nationally, from the municipal to the county level to the state and so on. They just keep getting devastated. So today, Chuck Schumer comes out and says, oh, we're going to filibuster. There's no way we're going to endorse this nominee or authorize or whatever. There's no way. We're going to do it. We're going to filibuster. They've got to have 60 votes in order to get this passed. And we don't think they do, and we're going to make them earn it and blah, blah, blah. Dirty, 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 dirty politics. This is where we're at right now. Folks, this is where we're at. Today, something very profound took place shortly before I got on the show. Trump Care was frozen, we'll say. It was pulled. It was stopped. The reason is they don't have enough votes to pass it. They just don't in the Republicans. And I'll tell you what, folks, as awkward as it looks, as dumb as it is, it's not worth it. It's a bad bill from my understanding. And guess what they're doing? They're not letting us see it. We don't get to see it till we pass it. It's exactly what the Democrats did earlier. So shooting it down is very inconvenient. It puts mud on our face. It could jam up the system. It's very alarming. I'm convinced 99% after I watched Obama after his inauguration go to the White House, meet with Obama, come out immediately in a press conference and say we're absolutely going to keep those people who are uninsured otherwise on insurance. We are going to do this. We're going to make sure there's no pre-existing clause. And folks, he just kept Obamacare. He made some crazy promise to Obama that was far too much. Now, Trump has a lot of life experience in his own realm, but he's got a lot of learning to do when it comes to politics. Politics is the art of strategy, which is the art of the possible. Donald Trump prides himself in the art of the deal. He's making business deals. He cannot comprehend the lack of integrity and character and deceptive, self-serving nature that politics brings. These people are self-centered, self-absorbed at a level you can't even comprehend. You know, and I don't need to get into that. I think you understand that. But he's been played, lied to, confused, you name it, he's done it. He's been played hard, okay? He's got a big life lesson ahead. And this, my friends, is where we're at today. The future of this thing, I have no clue where we end up. I really don't. He says, that's it. He's walking away. He's going to just let it lie. He's not going to make a big issue out of it. You know, I'm not sure, you know, exactly what he's got up his sleeve. But I know that he's not a quitter. You know, with Trump, I just never know what he's up to. We've got, you know, the most recent quick scandal type deal going on is Donald Trump claiming he was wiretapped by the Obama administration during the campaign. Folks, I believe it. I'll tell you why. They do so many word spins. They're wordsmiths. They ask all these questions in a congressional hearing recently of the director of FBI, James Comey, about, you know, was a wiretap placed there by Obama? No. You know, was the Obama White House involved in surveillance? No. He says, quote, Obama never ordered that, period. And then the questioning stays on the same line, trying to pin Obama down for the surveillance. No, somebody else did it. So then these theories come in from the outside that other countries had him tapped while they were supposedly investigating Russians. And folks, the truth of the matter is, they were getting what's called incidental data or incidental information or whatever that may be, which means incidental means if I take a picture of you at the beach and behind you is a man, you know, doing who knows what. But if I take a picture of you and I get a picture of a man behind you doing something he doesn't want people to know he's doing, whatever that may be, and I post it on Facebook, and there's facial recognition, and his wife finds out, then all of a sudden I've gathered data on him incidentally. I didn't intend to. But the thing is, they can use this loophole to their benefit in a great way. So I believe almost resoundingly that there was intentional, incidental gathering of data against Donald Trump. They started this false Russian narrative. Today, this Democratic, well, I can't remember what he is, chairman of something, Schiff, I think his first name, I can't remember, comes out just ridiculous. Absolutely just, you know, they called off, the Republicans called off any further hearings pertaining to this supposed Russia leak or Russia's collusion in the election or the leak of information through surveillance, you know, against Trump and all this stuff. And the Republicans are like, you know what, we're not going to have any more hearings on this. This is a racket. Plus, we're very busy with trying to pass a new health care. So this Schiff guy, and I'm sorry I can't think of his first name. I do realize sometimes I should. But he comes out and absolutely just lambastes these guys for like way too long with no healthy rebuttal. Just absolutely out of control, in my opinion. Unbelievable propaganda, left-wing, crazed nuttiness, okay? That's my perspective. It's absolutely ridiculous, I think, the level to which we've stooped. This is not America of old. It's just not the way it's always been. And that's a fact. They've done all kinds of studies over the years that attempt to show that every generation believes that the generation after them is morally inequivalent, sliding down a different slope. And in this case, the recent generation, they said in prior generations, this was not accurate, this was not true. In the recent generation, in the polling, they said, yes, this is true. They verified morality in America is slipping, it's slipping fast, and it's slipping drastically. I mean, the way children talk to their parents, the level of disrespect they show, on and on. And that carries on to the remainder of their life. I mean, it's just, you know, where the Bible tells you to honor your father and mother. That is one of the commandments. And it says you'll basically live a long, healthy, happy life. So, if you think about it, if they're not doing this, they're not doing anything. I mean, if they're disobeying the Ten Commandments, there's no respect left. All of us know we've lived through this perseverant, you know, court matters to remove any religious symbolism, any religious epithets, any religious connotation from the walls of everything from a health club to, you know, any kind of public facility, things like this, folks, just the opposite. The thing that's really sad is when they try to say our founding fathers were atheists, and yet they have all these incredible references and pictures, and I don't know. I'm telling you, it is something else. So as long as our society refuses to respect their parents, we are going to have an ever-increasing slippery slope of amorality merging into immorality. It's just going to get worse. Our children are entertained now by video games, which reprogram your brain. They rewire your neural pathways. That's a proven fact at a young age. Marijuana makes it 3 times worse, literally 3 times the imprintation effect. If kids play habitual video games while smoking marijuana. They permanently fry their brain. They eliminate all morality. Now, what happens if someone becomes sociopathic, where they have no natural empathy or morality, okay? You look at them and you say, okay, how does this make sense, Kevin? That you say that they have no morals, yet they don't kill. In fact, they might not even cheat on their wife. They might not lie a lot. They'll lie some, but not a lot. And you say, how can what you say be true? Here's how it's true. Because a sociopath is a narcissist. He will learn to behave in a way that most benefits him and him alone. In fact, there are narcissists that will take terrific care of their family because it benefits them. Just because someone shows love and compassion for their loved ones doesn't mean they don't have one of these disorders. And, you know, the Bible is so clear about honor your father and your mother. If you don't do that, folks, it's really interesting to me that the way the commandments break down is with this very order in place, okay? So, the first commandment is about what? It's about God. It's about knowing God or love the Lord your God. It's about no false images. And it's essentially your Father in heaven, okay? Let me get the proper order here. You'd think I'd have these memorized. Hey, I can tell you what they are, just not always in the perfect order. So anyway, I guess I'm not having any luck here. I want to get what I have here. Okay, let's see if I get luckily. Okay, I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, blah, blah, blah. You shall have no other gods before me. So the first and foremost is the fact that you shall have no other gods before me. So basically, the first commandment says, and this is in short form, that your Father in heaven is superior, that you must honor him first and foremost. So there is a structure, a biblical structure, that is irrefutable about how things work. It's called natural law. It's a societal formation, societal impact on how it affects everything in our society. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt in the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. God's saying, with that is the core. The thing about God is he seems to do things in very important order, which, by the way, when we talk about the Bible, the new, you know, Genesis creation account, people get into the argument of time and all this stuff, and I've discussed how futile that is. The thing you need to understand, Christianity, first of all, is the only religion that gives a rational explanation of who did it, how they did it, and sort of when they did it. The thing that's becoming phenomenal about the Bible is never proven wrong by science. Deeper science, unbiased, true scientific theory always proves the Bible correct. So it starts out, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. So first and foremost, to break any of the other commandments, you must break commandment one. Think about it. If the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Bible, the God of Jesus Christ and Jesus himself are your God, you have to disobey his commandments in order to disobey the rest of these commandments. You can't make yourself a graven image or a carved image, any likeness of anything, and it goes about the, anything above or below. Folks, I've been to Tahiti and all these other islands. These folks begin to worship. They live in fertile fantasy paradise. And rather than raising their hands to the heavens and saying, God, thank you so much for giving us this land and this beautiful water and this beautiful sand and all the fish we can eat and all the vegetation and all the beautiful sea life and the beautiful land life. Instead of doing that, they begin to focus on the creation rather than the creator. And you have to understand. So as we go further into this, we've got graven images and so on. Not you shall not murder. So number five, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord God gave you. English translation from Hebrew. You'll have a long, healthy, happy life. Folks, if you have a burnt bridge, a wall, heavy division with your parents, you need to make it right. Honor. Here's the thing. But you think, oh, but my dad molested me or whatever. That doesn't matter. God doesn't care. Now you might go, what are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. You're not honoring your mother and your father here. You're going back to the first commandment. You're honoring God. You honor your mother and father. God gave them to you. That doesn't mean you need to hang out with them if it's not healthy. It doesn't mean you need to do much. You need to honor them, respect them, just because it's the way God said it, it's the way it is, and it works. Then you trust God to take care of the rest. If you've got a bunch of bitterness and you're harboring a bunch of junk, and if you, you know, for stuff that really doesn't matter, and I run into this actually regularly. Over the years, I did counseling for a church. I was a counselor for, you know, 100-plus couples probably over a period of time. My goodness, the baggage we carry, folks, the garbage we pollute ourselves, the trash that we put in our heads. I've watched this girl who had a rough past, went to jail, got out, cleaned up, found Jesus, doing great. She's sliding back into all of it. And the minimization in her mind is unfathomable, the garbage that she puts in her mind to justify now using marijuana and stuff. It's crazy. So simple, I'll keep it short. Honor your parents. You honor the first commandment, which says, you will obey me. Christ said, you'll know my sheep, my children, whatever, they obey my commandments. If you love me, you'll obey my commands, he says. This is how you show your love for me. By obeying my commands. People say, well, that doesn't apply to the Old Testament. That just applies to the New. Well, that depends. Is Jesus God? And if he is, was he God in the Old Testament too? And if that's the case, he's the Word, Logos. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. We have to obey his commandments. So many people don't understand. We can rattle through these. You shall make, okay, let's do. I'm the Lord, your God. You shall have no other gods before me. You need to ask yourself, what does it look like when you're worshiping God? You're dedicating time to it. You're giving your eyes to it. You're behaving and being influenced by it. So think about those things, you know, your time, energy, effort, and influence. Think about a television and think about God. Which one has more influence in your life? Think about your computer and God. Which one has more influence in your life? Okay, that's what it boils down to. I know people, older folks will call in, they don't have computers, okay? I can kind of relate. I understand it's scary and it's hard and technology is moving fast. That's fine, but you can't judge others who do. We just need to work with the Lord to utilize them properly. Second commandment, you shall not make yourself for yourself any carved image or in the likeness of anything above or below. You know, so God doesn't want graven images. He doesn't want us to put anything on the pedestal above him. He is God. A good example is all reasonable rational history says that thousands and thousands of years ago, the Great Pyramid was built as a monument to God, as the cornerstone of the earth mentioned in the book of Job. It has all the measurements of the earth, including pi, including the distance to the sun, including the vernal equinox, including the precession of equinoxes, the amount of time it takes for our solar system to proceed through the Milky Way galaxy one time, and so on and so forth. And the point is that the Great Pyramid has nothing on it. There's no hieroglyphs. There's no tattoos, basically. There's no nothing. It's clean. It's pure. That's the way God wants it. That's the way God is. Then it goes on. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. This can become a really bad habit fast. Swearing is one thing. Using the Lord's name in vain is a whole nother deal. If you find yourself doing that, either get some help to quit or clean it up. Number five, honor your father and mother. We've discussed it. It's a core principle. Without it, you're broken. You're done. Honor. It doesn't mean submit. People misuse that. Now, I want to touch quickly. I'm kind of not covering the ground I wanted. Submission, folks, can be a beautiful thing. I want to touch on this. The Bible talks about wives submit to your husbands. People think of it like a slave. No. Submission can be a beautiful thing. And here's how it works. You submit with honor and dignity and respect. Okay? It's a gift. You're giving your will up to your husband to honor him. Because just like we give our will to God to honor him, to give it over, we give it to God and we say, take my will. Let your will be done. I give it to you willingly. This is how we get into heaven. This is how we become saved, right? Well, I spent years studying martial arts. Too many years and too many hours. That was just something I really loved for a long, long time. I really came to appreciate the Japanese culture. You know, for years and years and years, the Japanese culture is just based on traditional respect and dignity and honor and a hierarchy of structured authority that works. Now, of course, they're having all the same issues we're having because their new generation's getting pumped, all of our filth, etc. But the point is, over there, it's an honor to submit to a master. They don't have to be beat into submission. They want to do it. So, folks, honoring your mother and father is one way. It's the same thing. You're honoring them with your willful, controlled, godly submission to a degree. It's not the same level once you're an adult. If you're a child, there's no doubt. You submit with due respect. You don't say, fine, I'll do what you say. No. You have a spirit of reconciliation and love and kindness, okay? You shall not murder. No real question there. The problem is people don't realize what Jesus said. If you murder in your heart, you're a murderer, okay? So we look at that and you think, well, everyone's done that, and maybe not everyone. But Jesus said, if you basically curse your brother, you've committed the sin. So he's basically saying that you don't desire to destroy another person, period. And that means derogatory. God can do it. Sin is sin. God doesn't want us to be dumb. But we don't want a desire to destroy. So many people go, why does God allow this? Why does God allow that? If I were God, I would never do this. I would never do that. No, you're right. If you were God, you'd absolutely devastate the earth. You'd destroy everybody. You'd overreact. Or you'd be a coward. You'd underreact. I don't know. But God is God. And we should be thankful that we're not. Because he is forbearing. He gets the final word. He gets the last word in when we pass away and we go through our judgment. It's, you know, it's very simple. He's fully sovereign. Only a fully sovereign God can give full free will. So, we've got to try not to destroy people in our hearts. We've got to learn to love. Thou shalt not murder, to me, is thou shalt learn how to love. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's a no-brainer. It's obvious. Marriage is a sacred communion between a woman and a man, not a man and a man. Adultery is, you know, as they say, carnal knowledge outside of that relationship. You shall not steal, number 8. That means taking something that either isn't yours or does not belong to you to take. We've got, folks, the socialistic mentality is based strictly on theft. If there's 3 people in the world, John, Bill, and Bob, and John says, Bob, you don't have enough money, but Bill, you got too much. I'm going to take from Bob and give to Bill. Even though, you know, equal circumstances and so on. That's socialism. That is theft. And folks, one thing you need to realize and understand is the fact that equal opportunity is not equal circumstances. We've got to remember that. Don't forget that equality is not equality of circumstances or condition. It just means the system will allow anybody to rise up at their own pace. And then number 9 is an important one. Don't bear false witness, okay? That's where you say things bad about somebody that aren't true. Folks, it destroys. The Bible says that gossip goes down to the innermost being like dainty morsels. We suck up gossip. I remember one time hearing a story about somebody, hearing something I knew wasn't true. I knew for a fact it wasn't true. I knew it. I never questioned it, and it still changed the way I thought of him. It kept coming to my mind. There's something about us that wants to hear this stuff. Do not gossip. I know a Christian woman that is literally, I'm not kidding, probably should be institutionalized to get help. She's on the phone all day smearing names. She, you know, her husband was a doctor, and she was filing anonymous complaints with the medical board to try to get him removed from the board, and was almost effective because a woman was allowed in her case to make false claims as an anonymous person. And then I don't remember how they figured it all out. I was involved. I read one of the writings and I'm like, this is your wife, X, whatever it was. They'll go to any extent to bear false witness. This is another Saul Alinsky principle. Number 10 commandment, do not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, their male servant, their female servant, nor the ox, donkey, or anything that's your neighbor's. Covet means I want it so bad. That's what happened when we had the employee for way too long that stole way too much, manager of the store. As long as he was here, there was stuff disappearing all over the place, and I just was, foolish. I just couldn't believe he would do it. I couldn't even comprehend it. But he literally would decide he wanted something, and he couldn't stop himself. He would allow himself to covet it. Coveting leads to destruction. Simple enough. The first commandment. God said in Christ's parable, he said, what's the greatest law or whatever? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Number 1. Number 2, love your neighbor as yourself. You do the rest of it, it's done. Remember, folks, we take pretty good care of ourselves. So when we love our neighbor as ourselves, that's a pretty big command. So that's where we end today. And I'll tell you, short, sweet, fast, and simple, the timing for buying silver or gold or whatever right now is phenomenal. Folks, please understand, just as anything you do financially, your knowledge will affect your decision-making. I spoke recently, annuities are trash. They're the worst. They're packed with surrender charges. They have back-end fees, back-loaded. The front-end commissions are huge. They want to annuitize, which means you'll never see it again. They're bad. You call your agent after you listen to Kevin. He goes, no, that's not true at all. You're getting 7%. Just look at your statement. Look at, you gave us $100,000. Look at your statement. It shows $110,000. You can see right there where you're getting all this interest. Well, the $110,000 is because they add a $10,000 bonus premium, which you can never access. It's just to make your statement look big and fluffy. And you're basically, you know, you're never going to get that money out. You won't. You bring your paperwork in, you bring your recent statement and your closing documents on your annuity, and I'll show you. There's no exceptions. They're trash, trash, trash. If you've got them, get out. It's going to hurt, but it's going to hurt now or later. There's no way out safe and free. They want you rolling it over and over and over and over, and then they'll give you some little forced distribution now and then. You don't want that. So long story short, we're short on time. 401ks, IRAs, build a portfolio, that's us. Coins Plus, 444-0044, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN, or website coinsplus.com with all our previously recorded radio shows. Folks, we specialize in helping you save in a firm, godly, biblical way. Call us. Let us take care of you. Have a great weekend. God bless. Thanks. Bye-bye.